The Raptors back in action tonight. The line is moving towards them, too. It was 2.5 before the show started. It's been bet up to 3. I guess, you know, Vegas is expecting a bounce back against Minnesota tonight. And they looked great last night. They looked great on Tuesday. They're feeling it right now. Here's our Raptors reporter, Josh Lewenberg. What do you make it tonight, Josh? I mean, I can't imagine Lowry's going to play if he didn't play last night. But based on recent history, the Raptors find a way to win without him.
Yeah, I mean, based on history going back to the start of last year, they're 16-2 without Kyle Lowry in the lineup, but that's not even including the two games that he left early recently, the win over Memphis and the win over Milwaukee the other day. But let's pump the brakes on the whole the Raptors don't need Kyle Lowry thing before we head to the ESPN trade machine and try to find a new home for the greatest Raptor ever. I'll clarify that this obviously doesn't mean they're a better team without Kyle Lowry. I don't think it's a reflection on him or his importance to the organization. I just think, I mean, listen, their record without any of their key players over the last few years has been really good. I mean, they were 17-5 without Kawhi Leonard during the championship year, and we all know how good of a player he was for them. So I just think when guys are out, whether it's Lowry or Siakam or Van Vliet, no matter who it is, when guys are out, there just seems to be a sense of urgency that they don't have when they're at full strength. They know that they have to play harder and smarter in order to get away with being undermanned. I mean, obviously, the margin for error is smaller. And then I also think that it creates opportunities for other guys. And the Raptors have been fortunate to have other guys that are there and ready to step up and help fill the void. And that's a credit to the Raptors development staff. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think in previous years, like if we're going back 3 or 4 years to the DeMar DeRozan era, yeah, missing DeRozan or missing Lowry may have been a death sentence for that team. But with the way this team has played over the last few years, I think they can withstand an absence from Lowry. It's just a question of how many games is he going to miss. I mean, we thought he'd be out at least tonight for sure, but he's listed as questionable. So we'll see what the status is tonight and how many games he's going to miss going forward.
Josh, Lowry, no Lowry, inconsistency. A coach is always looking for a couple performances so we can go into the locker room and say, if you guys put it together, this is what you can look like going forward and have consistency and success. Is these two performances against Milwaukee something that Nick Nurse can say, if you work, you perform, this is what you can be and this is how you can have success?
No doubt. Exhibit A on Tuesday and Exhibit B yesterday, and you probably circle Exhibit B because of how well the Raptors played on the defensive end last night. I mean, obviously the Raptors overall have played really well the last couple games, and beating a Milwaukee team that for the most part is really good, even though they've been struggling lately. But to be able to do it defensively in the way they did it last night, I mean, that might have been their best defensive performance of the year. Milwaukee, for all of their recent struggles, they're still the second-ranked offensive team in the NBA right now. Yesterday was the first time that they've been held under 100 points all year. The Raptors did a great job on Middleton in both games, neutralizing him, and I thought they did a really good job on Giannis as well. So I think that has to be the example of this is how you need to play in order to win games, because it's not as simple as saying that, okay, well, the jump shot, some nights it's going in, some nights it's not, and that explains the inconsistency. No, because the defensive execution has been all over the map this year. That's unlike them, and that's something that's a lot more controllable than how you play offensively. So I think that's been the biggest reason for the inconsistency and a lot of the frustration as well, too, right? Because you're coming off of 2 wins against Milwaukee, and in any other year when you have a game coming up against Minnesota, the worst team in the league, you can say pretty confidently, okay, well, this is going to be a relatively easy win. I don't know that anybody feels like that going into this game tonight. One, because you lost to Milwaukee a few days ago, but also, Minnesota, I should say, but also because of how much of a mixed bag the Raptors have been this season. The question every night is which team is going to show up. I'm pretty confident in saying that if the team from yesterday shows up again today, they're going to win by 20 or 30 points. But if they don't, then yeah, this could definitely be another upset loss.
Chatting with Josh Lewenberg, our Raptors reporter, ahead of the game tonight. Raps in Minnesota taking on the Timberwolves. And when in doubt, I go to the source, and the source is the Grapplers Fantasy League. And he sent me a note earlier today that I think you need to write about this, Josh. And it's actually, it brings up an interesting point. I'll tell you in a minute. Let me finish this ridiculous point. The grappler calls me earlier and goes, I'm going to send you something. And I think it says something about Fred VanVleet and the conversation we should be having. And he sends me a list of the top five ranked fantasy players in the NBA. And I'm sure you can guess who number five is. It is Fred VanVleet. And that doesn't necessarily have to mean anything, but in the NBA, when you're up there with names like Steph Curry, who's been off the charts, you're ahead of a guy like James Harden. His numbers are elite. Like, a 54-point game is going to do that for you. He didn't shoot the ball that well last night, but he brought everything else you'd want, played 40 minutes. Like, I know we pump his tires anyway, Josh, but at what point do we start discussing Fred VanVleet maybe being pushed into another level that should be at least talked about or debated?
Well, we know now that he's already a fantasy superstar.
Yes.
So, yeah, it seems like it's only a matter of time by that logic that he's a reality superstar. No, listen, I'm in a couple of fantasy leagues with the grappler. I do baseball and fantasy football with the grappler. I've taken a backseat. I've taken a break from fantasy basketball for a while, so I'm no expert in that department. But Fred VanVleet checks off a lot of boxes for fantasy. He does a little bit of everything, but he's also become a darling of the advanced statistical community as well. And we know how great he is defensively, and that's where he doesn't get enough love. And I hope that at some point this year he does. I'm not sure whether he's going to make the All-Star team, but I think he really deserves to make an All-Defensive team. This year, for the second year in a row, he leads the league in deflections, and that's not something that's going to help you in a fantasy league, but it's certainly something that helps the Raptors. He's up there in steals and in a lot of advanced stat categories on the defensive end of the floor. He's become a really good player, and it's interesting because whenever you talk about players, especially young players, and he's still just 26, the question that always comes up is, how good can this player be? But I feel like we don't talk about upside a lot with VanVleet, and I'm not sure why that is, because when we talk about Pascal Siakam, same age, by the way, we talk about, okay, well, what's the comparable here? What's the comparison? Who can he be like? What's the ceiling? We talk about ceiling a lot when it comes to OG Anunoby. But for Fred VanVleet, I feel like people just think, okay, well, this is sort of found money here. He wasn't supposed to be good. He's become really good, but this is just sort of who he is. But every year we say that, and every year he continues to get better. So, yeah, I do think that there is an upside there that he hasn't even begun to reach.
Well, if you're going to go with that narrative, you have to credit the grappler. He deserves to be the source on that. And his fantasy handle, I can't even imagine what it is. I hope it's the grappler. It would be so great if that's his fantasy name.
Super Save fan some for the rest of the guys out there with all the fantasy leagues you guys have. Holy smokes.
Curling fantasy.
Yeah. Wow.
There isn't Studs. Anything you can't play fantasy for.
Super Graps fan.
Yeah,
that's what
I love
it is.
It.
Leave some buddy. Bumble for the rest of the guys out there, you two.
Thank you, Josh. We'll do it again soon.
All right, guys. Take care.
Josh Lunenberg, a Raptors reporter and fantasy aficionado.
What do you guys got cooking? Well, I've got a baseball league, four soccer leagues, and basketball fantasy I have to take care of tonight.
No, I'm taking a year off basketball. It was too time-consuming. Can't do it this year. But DeGrappa brings up a valid point, man. Like, Fred VanVleet, he's up there with these names in terms of what he's doing.
I'm fascinated. These guys have no time for anything. How the hell does J-Lew and Grappler have time for anything? Fantasy, anything.
Baseball fantasy, I have done it once. I
it was
did
a full-time job.
I could never
3 weeks into the season, I just stopped filling out my lineup. Like, everyone, they were so mad at me because you're playing against people. And they're like, can you at least just fill out your... I'm like, I'm not doing it, man. Like,
daily, you have to do that?
Every day. Because, well,
no,
some guy's on the
way.
DL, and then all of a sudden there's a waiver wire pickup, and you get a guy who, you know, hits well against lefties that shouldn't be in the lineup. It's unbelievable how time-consuming... Like,
you know what?
Rotisserie baseball fantasy drafts are.
It's kind of got my interest. I love baseball. If I could do it where you just have to fill out a lineup, I don't work in the summer, so I could probably do it.
Well, I'm telling you, man, it's every day you're out there fishing. For the most, I guess you wouldn't have to, but for the most part, you get an injury or something, you skip a start, you need to plug someone in there. And it's a grind. Like, it's a six-month grind every day.
Yeah, you wouldn't. Oh, you'd be done with it. 7 days in, you'd be done with it.
You'd hate it. It's a grind, man. I 2 weeks in, I just said, I'm done. I'm not filling anything out. Here's my money. Donation. Thank you very much.